The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Good morning, Trish, honey.
Good morning, Carl.
Yes. Okay. Hey, look, everybody. It's Thursday, February the 11th. Quickly approaching Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. My favorite day of the year, Valentine's Day.
That's right. 7 after 7 here, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
And it's 46 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 67, low tonight of 46, a high on Friday of 65, low of 45, and again on Saturday, a high of 68. We're going to be in the high 60s all next week, and it doesn't look like we're going to have any appreciable rain until maybe the end of next week. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. It's locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And what's not to love about a day that's all about flowers and candy and jewelry and love?
Jewelry and love.
I mean, my gosh, what a better holiday than Valentine's.
Chocolate and, well, you know what, and then see, so there's all these things are going on, like the Cascade Theater on Friday is having their, you know what, they do a lot for our community, and this is the first fundraiser they've raised for themselves in like probably 10 years.
A long time.
And these things like the air conditioning system and all this stuff, and they're having that. Tickets are $30.
Champagne hors d'oeuvres. I'm so excited.
Oh, it is. And you can buy, have a chance to buy those posters from that, you know, all the posters, you know, you see in there, you know, the stars that are coming through there and the acts, and they've signed them. So you can actually buy, you know, those too.
Perfect.
So this is happening Friday. Linda's emceeing it. Saturday, then out at Wind River from 6 to 9, is going to be she and her band, Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, plus one or two extra. Big night out there, special menu. Wow. Out there, you know, the hotel itself is sold out. Okay. So you want to get, you know, you want to get reservations there, and we'll talk a bit more about that. And then Sunday at the View, they're having, you know, big Valentine's Day thing going right then, and Linda's singing in from 11:30 to 1:30.
And you have all these opportunities, romance and fun stuff going on. It's fantastic.
Everywhere.
Later on this morning, you're going to talk about the Bundy arrest.
They've all turned themselves in, supposedly, this morning.
Well, Cliven Bundy, the patriarch, was arrested at Portland Airport upon landing this morning.
Really?
On federal, unspecified federal charges. We'll get you, I heard that on the news this morning.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, heard that on the news this morning. And federal agents are supposedly surrounding the wildlife refuge at this time and saying, this is it, everybody out of the pool. So the situation is extremely fluid, and I'll get you some further information on that.
Let's keep following it. I know that the rest of them were supposed to, the ones who are still on the reservation there, or the wildlife refuge, were supposed to turn themselves in this morning. So it's amazing. I don't know. You know, here is, I guess if there's a scary thing about this, and there's many scary things about it, you fly into an airport, and the feds pick you up for an unspecified reason. And what's the unspecified reason? They don't want him to, like, travel to that spot. You know, how do they know he was coming up there? Did he make the announcement? I'm going up there to see my son. So he, as soon as he lands in the airport, the feds are there, and they arrest him for, you know, it'd be interesting to know for what. See, this whole thing has gotten so far out of hand that just because you're flying up there, I mean, was he armed? Obviously not. He was on a plane.
There you go. There's a whole lot of speculation, and I think the unfortunate part of it is we don't know what's going on. They've given us very little information, no statements from the authorities. It allows for a lot of speculation, and let's face it, at this point in our government and in our world, we don't trust the government very much.
Nobody does.
And for good reason. Because they have proven time and time again that they're untrustworthy and that they lie to us and that they don't tell us the truth and they shove everything under the rug. So you've got a very volatile situation up there. Good, bad, or indifferent, it makes me really nervous that it can turn into something really, really bad really, really quickly. The gentleman got shot that did get shot in the last go-around, I wish they'd come out and say what happened there. Because it leads you to believe that the reports you're getting are true.
They did say what happened. They've made the statement. They've got a drone photo of it that he was told to get out of the car. That they were stopped in there for a traffic stop. The Bundy car with mm-hmm. both the Bundy brothers in it got out. They were arrested. The other car pushed past them, went down to another roadblock, ran into the snowbank. The guy got out of the car with his hands up. They said he dropped his hands toward his jacket pocket, and they shot him. That's the official story. He was reaching for a gun, and there was a gun inside his pocket. Now, you'll see all this other stuff. It says, mm-hmm. oh, no, the serial number on that gun says it was stolen 2 years ago. I mean, I saw that one floating around. You know.
Well,
so, and the other one was, well, the only reason he dropped his hands is because he'd been shot already. I don't know. I think that the FBI, it wasn't the FBI doing the shooting. It was the State Patrol, from what I understand.
Well, and that's from what you understand, but they've never come out with an official report on that, and that's part of the problem. They asked the FBI to come in. The FBI didn't come in. That's in the other report that I read, and so the state police took it upon themselves to do this.
Yeah, well, the governor said this has got to end, but the first roadblock, I thought, was the FBI. So maybe it wasn't. I mean, you know, yeah. But it's not clear. And that's what I'm saying. It's gone on long enough that they need to come out with.
I mean, you know, yeah. Here we go. We go right back to how long ago was it that we went through all of the Benghazi thing, and we still don't have a clear statement. So we don't have a lot of confidence in what they're saying and what they're doing. They did tell those people at one time if they'd all come out. That they could just go home after the shooting and everything. Some of them come out, and they promptly arrested them. So the rest of them bartered in again and said, no, we're not coming out of here now because they arrested the people that did come out. So, gosh darn it.
It's just the most
unfortunate situation and could end so badly. So I think I just keep praying
that
they will solve this. Could end a lot worse. I mean, we've already had one death. We've had people shot. We've had... it's just a bad thing. And of course, you get that down to it. And what started the whole thing, according to that representative from that area and his speech to uh-huh. Congress, is pretty clear that the government was at fault.
Well, I think that whichever it was, Trump or whoever it was absolutely right. That whoever becomes president has got to take a real good look at turning a lot of this land back to the states.
Absolutely.
All right, Kate, you know what? We've got to take a break here. We've got people on the line, and we'll get to them in a second. But, you know, this segment of the show is brought to you by Sleep Number, one of our favorite.
Absolutely, one of our favorite products.
You've had it for over 10 years.
I have. And my sleep number remains consistent at about 55.
Well, I want you to know my sleep number setting is 95 now.
You've got up to 95.
95, you know, because I was lifting and pulling, and I need a little more firmness in there. And I tell you what, it's working.
Good.
And see, that's the best thing when you have a dual air bed. You know, Linda's sleep number setting is 40. I'm up at 95. And, you know, every so often I'll roll over on her side of the bed, and I go, ooh, it's kind of comfy.
Like a marshmallow.
I kind of like this. And she doesn't seem to be bothering her. There's a sleep number, though. Has that and the sleep IQ technology.
I'm not even going to follow up on
that. I know. It's like, you know, hey, you know, firmness here. You know, hey, Valentine's Day's coming, guys. You know, buy your wife a new bed or your loved one a new bed. And this is a great time to do it because your sleep number, come down to the sleep number store, and it's their ultimate sleep number event where you can save 50% on a limited edition bed. Plus, Queen C2 mattresses are now only $599.99. I mean, that's a great price. Plus all the accessories you can pick up for these things. But, you know, you sleep well.
And the accessories, I mean, if you have a Sleep Number bed and you've bought it any time within the last 10 to 15 years, you are registered with them, you get discounts, you go in, all the bedding, pillows, all the things that go with your Sleep Number bed are always on a great special price at the Sleep Number bed store. It's just the best deal in town.
Well, it is. And the way you do it is you head on down to the Sleep Number store over at the Target Shopping Center and go in and see Brian or Janice or any of the people in there. They're going to tell you how to make it work. Sleep Number. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. People got questions for you, Trish.
Oh.
You know, I'm going to have to, and I understand that you raised a little ruffles out here on Monday. So take a chance on me.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Redding's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call into KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway. Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Wow. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Good morning.
7:20 in the morning here on the 11th of February 2016. 46 degrees out there, going up to 67 today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends from Properties by Merit and Agent Erin Richard. She is a top agent out there. We know her. We know her. We know her mom and dad. She's extremely motivated to and determined for her clients. Give her a call at 949-9103 or check out her website at Richard Real Estate, R-I-C-H-A-R-T, realestate.com. Give Erin a call. Good lady. You know, accomplished dancer. She's the lead dancer down at the Cascade. We know they're having this fundraiser. But she is one of the, you know, the, she was one of the, is the senior dancer down there. Beautiful, tall, accomplished lady. Okay.
All right.
We've got a Terry. Good morning. We've got a Terry.
Terry on the phone.
We got a Terry. Why'd they arrest this guy?
Pardon me?
Why'd they arrest Bundy?
I don't know. We don't know that yet. We just know he got arrested. They will not release what the charges are. They won't release why they took him into custody. They won't release anything. What I do know is you talked about the gun. Where is the gun? They've stopped talking about the gun. We're not even sure if there was a gun. He was right-handed. He was reaching to his left side. It clearly shows on the newest video he was shot in that side. He was reaching for the wound. The other thing is, where's the car? What happened with the car? We know there was over 100 shots fired. That's fact. We know that, not because the FBI released it, but because of the press. Where's the vehicle? Why were they shooting into that car? Why did they tear gas that car? Why didn't they notice that the little white flag that the young girl was holding up? You know, they're also saying now in the press that that Finnegan was shot by authorities when they moved in to arrest him. Arrest him for what? A misdemeanor. I mean, really and truly, we heard the phone call last night. We got a phone call from the Bairds, Mark and Cindy, about 10 o'clock at night. We got a phone call from them. We called the FBI. I talked to the FBI. Many people did from California. There were almost 20,000 people hearing this live stream. It was 4 hours and 46 minutes. Now, we didn't listen to the whole thing, but we could hear clearly Michelle Fiorina, who is the legislator out of Nevada, calling and saying, we need to talk to the FBI. The FBI would not give her a number. They would not talk to her. They had surrounded these four people with five armored vehicles and two from behind. The fact is that this is clearly overreach. The FBI, because of public pressure, and thank God for technology, virtually has now agreed to negotiate this morning at 8 a.m. with Michelle Fiorina negotiating on the side of the people in there. They want to surrender. They want to come out. They're afraid if they come out, they're going to get shot. And to hear that, it was amazing. I mean, this is government overreach to the max, and there is no other side of this. I mean, I've heard comments, well, you know, these people went in armed. They walked into an unlocked place, and they were carrying weapons, which was legally to have it. And to say, well, you know, if you're armed and the feds are armed, then shame on you. No, because it's our right to be armed, and for one thing, and for another thing, what law were they breaking? Has anybody seen the law they were breaking?
Yeah, they took over a federal building. It seems like if you take over a federal building, isn't that like illegal?
If they take over a federal building, first of all, is it federal? See, here's the real deal. Is the BLM legal? The state of Utah, as you know, is working as a state to get the lands back to the state. And we've talked about this before.
This is Oregon.
I mean, you know, the Constitution says, in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, the only land that the government has jurisdiction over without the permission of the states is 10 square miles in Washington, D.C. That's a fact.
Well, didn't the Oregon governor say, I want those people out of there?
And the Oregon governor said she wanted to speedy into it. And just because a governor does something, it doesn't mean that it's not...
But doesn't the governor have say over her sovereign state? Isn't that what we're talking about?
No, she doesn't have say over her sovereign state. The people have say over her sovereign state.
She is the representative of the people. Isn't she the representative of the people, though, Terry?
No.
She's not. Wait a minute. She's not the representative of the people that's elected?
Listen to me, Carl. The sheriff...
No, I just want you to answer that question. Isn't she the elected representative of the people?
She is the elected governor of the people, but the sheriff in the county can intervene because there has to be an MOU for the FBI to do what they did.
What did the sheriff say about this?
I will take these people into my custody, and I will take care of all this. And they were willing to surrender to the sheriff. It was in another county. They were willing to surrender to the sheriff.
In another county. Wait a minute. In another county.
Is true.
Wait a minute. Carrie, take a breath here. Isn't the county they were in? First of all, one, I'm not arguing about the overreach of the lands or anything like this. But let's just say, but if you're going by rule of law, didn't the sheriff in the county they were in, didn't he want them out of there? He said it was time. If they didn't want to surrender to him, they wanted to surrender to somebody else. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the people who were in that refuge, what law were they breaking as far as any kind of law being on land that is public land? Or is it federal land? Oh, wait, if it's BLM land, does that mean that the feds own it, or does that mean they manage it? What does that mean? What does that mean? There is no ownership of land. The BLM is land management. As far as the sheriff goes, he did have the opportunity to do that, but that sheriff's not even elected, you know. That sheriff was appointed.
And so was the governor.
And so was the governor.
The governor was appointed when Hickenlooper had to leave in disgrace.
So she wasn't elected.
No, she wasn't elected. So a lot of times when we get on here, you know, there's a lot of facts that have to come out, and sort of halfway knowing something and saying, well, you know, I halfway know this, and this is what I believe, is what's gotten us into this whole mess. The fact is, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the United States Constitution, I can end it right there. It's just like the Second Amendment. You know, what part do you want to go on with that one? I mean, the BLM is an illegal organization. It's illegal. And that's why Utah and Arizona and all these states are doing what they can do. Because they have the right in jurisdiction. The jurisdiction of a state means that they control that area. Interposition means the state stands between the feds, and therefore they're going to stand for the people and interpose. And therefore you have nullification, which means that they can nullify the state, anything they want to do or nullify that's against the Constitution or shows harm to their people. The state of Oregon didn't do that, and frankly, the state of California doesn't either.
So what you're saying then is if I want to go over and just in California and take 160 acres of property that belongs under, it's under the BLM, I should be able to do that.
Let me ask you this. Okay,
no, I mean, tell me, is that right?
If you're going to go take that over, all right, if you're going to go take that over, and you take it over, should you be shot to death? Should you be shot to death?
Should I be shot to death?
Should you be shot to death?
I would hope not.
Well, that's what they were in fear of. And if you heard anything on that four-hour take, you could hear them screaming. You heard the legislator calling. You heard Mark, who was the FBI negotiator.
Are we talking about the ones that are there now?
We're talking about the ones that are there now.
Okay.
They were in fear of their life for being shot. It wasn't that they didn't want to surrender. They were lied to by the FBI negotiator, Mark, and therefore that's why Ms. Fiorina got into the thing, because basically they were being lied to. They were afraid if they went outside, they'd be shot to death. They were literally afraid of that.
How close are the press to all this?
The press is going to be very close to it today because they weren't allowed to come in. I mean, even the paper showed that you couldn't even get in there. The FBI blocked up all the roads. I mean, there's four people in there.
The
tape that he's referring to, the four-hour right. tape that he's referring to, is online now.
Right. Is Fiorina, or is that her name, Fiorina?
Yes.
Is she with the four people?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, buddy.
Is she with the four people?
No, she is. She is the legislator from Nevada who flew into Portland.
I know that.
Doing the negotiation for them. She's over
on the outside.
Okay, she's negotiating from the outside then.
Yeah.
She is going to be on the ground. She's going to be there at 8:00 this morning.
Okay. So we're not going to solve this right now. Again, Carrie, I have to go back to. You're right. There is so much information there. The fact that we're even in this situation tells us what terrible trouble we are in this country, and we absolutely need to look towards someone in a position of authority who is going to start straightening out this land and giving it back to the people and taking it away from the federal government so we don't get into these messes.
Well, see, the whole thing, and you're right, Trish, the whole thing is it shouldn't be there anyway. It's
That's
illegal.
Exactly
the BLM
right.
is the illegal agency.
Yeah.
It's not constitutional. Yeah.
I would love, and like I said, I would really love to see whoever the candidate, and see somebody with the moxie that gets elected to say, you know, it's time to turn the land back to the people.
Well, there is one of them saying that, isn't there, Sal?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's one of them that's already saying, is that Cruz who's saying that, lady?
It was either Cruz or Trump, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know whether Cruz has said it during this period of time, but certainly he has supported legislation in the past, and the representatives from the West who have brought that forward in the Senate, he has been very supportive of going back to what the Constitution calls for, and that is that this property should be in the hands of the states.
Well, the bottom line is, Trish, is the Constitution the truth or is it a lie? Is it something we follow or is it something we don't?
The unfortunate part of that, Terry, is we're following a Constitution that has been interpreted by the Supreme Court and others for the last 100 years. So the Constitution you and I refer to has already been torn apart with decisions that were making new law as opposed to interpreting them.
You're right. And again, here's the thing. The Supreme Court only offers an opinion. It's like you had Chief Paletti on yesterday, Carl, and he said the Supreme Court ruled. The Supreme Court never rules. It has an opinion. It's up to the state, the sovereign state, to adopt that or not. It's just like Reynolds versus Sims. 31 states adopted it. I mean, that's what's going on. Now we have 7 or 8 states that are saying, no, we don't want the BLM in here.
Yeah.
The Equal Footing Doctrine. Which would happen if we became Jefferson. The Equal Footing Doctrine states that any new state, just like when Maine separated from Massachusetts, any new state will be on equal footing with the original 13 states. How much BLM land was there in the original 13 states?
None. But, you know, the other problem we have is getting the people on the East Coast, who have way more legislators than we do, interested in the fact that we have all of this private got federal property out here now. We got to go because
right.
We got to take a break.
All right. Thanks a lot,
Terry.
You know, Terry, you know, keep us informed, or, you know, either through the chat room or something about what happens at the at that 8 o'clock thing.
We'll
be watching that.
Thanks,
too. Okay.
Terry.
Thanks a lot, Terry. We got to take a break. Carl Bott and Trish Clark. You know, the thing about it is there is a lot of people, and I think most people, according to any poll, don't believe that the government tells them the truth, one, and that the government can't protect them anymore. And that's, you know, we're getting into a spot right now.
We're in trouble.
This election is becoming more and more and more important that we have somebody that can actually pull the country together. And I just don't see anybody that's on the inside. And it's not just against Hillary. But anybody that's on the inside, can they do that? We need somebody that actually can reach out to both sides and say, look, our country's needs to go forward here, and we need to get ourselves together. We need jobs. We need to make our country strong again, because right now things are happening that people are just saying, oh, my God, you know, the government's doing all this. But they don't trust the government. And
for good reason.
But there was a time when you did trust the government.
That's true.
We'll be right back after these messages. 7:33 in the morning here on February 11th.
Don't you fret.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. Thursday. Love Thursday.
25 minutes until the hour of 8. Sitting here with my good buddy.
46 degrees.
Yeah, going up 67. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Northern Firearms Instruction is bringing you this portion of the show. Ted Light has set up his company several years ago, and he teaches in all the Northern California area. I think it's like 8 or 9 counties now. And is back in Nashville, Tennessee right now, receiving an award this week for the work he's done in bringing young people into turkey hunting. I mean, he takes out 20 kids, boys and girls, hunting with mentors. He puts a mentor with each one of them. And then one of the parents or a guardian will then go with them. And the three go out and they hunt turkeys. And it's been successful. All the kids got turkeys. Then they have a big dinner afterwards and they raffle off shotguns. You know, I mean, people donate the shotguns and this.
These
kids are introduced into hunting, into being in the outdoors. A lot of them, this is the only guy they know, the only male in their life. In some cases, it's a guardian because both the kids are in jail. Or not the kids, but the parents are in jail. Or can't touch weapons for one reason or another. And then just regular families, you know, maybe single parents or this, or family just doesn't help. They want their child to be introduced into hunting.
And he gives these great courses before then. The kids are getting such a good education when they're dealing with it.
He gives them some hunter safety courses.
Both of my grandsons went through the hunter safety course with Ted.
That's right.
Did a marvelous job with it.
And then takes everybody out hunting. This year I'm going to be mentoring one of the young people out there. But he won a national award for this, and that's where he is right now in Tennessee. They flew him back there
for him
to receive it. Yeah.
And Tennessee, wow, now that's got to be fun.
Nashville. His firearms school provides everything you need to get your concealed carry, and it's a great class taught by professional NRA instructors. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822. All right, Bob.
Far be it from me to throw pepper in the pot, Carl, but Terry was implying that Bundy had been arrested and taken away as if it were the Gestapo in the middle of the night. And according to the Oregonian, because he said they haven't set any charges, Well, in fact, the Oregonian is reporting that Cliven Bundy is facing charges related to the 2014 standoff, specifically conspiracy to interfere with a federal officer.
So they're waiting.
They
were waiting to get him off the property there.
Yeah, well, where better to arrest somebody when things might go sideways than at an airport where you're not supposed to have your gun on you.
Anyway, now we're getting in a big argument about people online. I love it. Our chat room, getting in a fist fight over Terry.
And if you'd like to, you can jump in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Or you can give us a call at 605-4567 if you'd like to get in on the conversation.
You know, okay, let me just bring something up from earlier this week when I was gone. The the checkpoint.
Oh, here we go.
All right. Now, here's
oh, boy.
Now, I asked Chief Pelletti about that.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody said, is it a way to get a lot more overtime for the police? I said, might be. I said, you know, a lot of people always ask, is it constitutional? And he goes, it is. It has been observed, or the opinion from the Supreme Court is that it is legal. It is constitutional. Otherwise, we would not do that, because if it was illegal, then we'd be sued and we couldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to give is, you know, you show your driver's license and your registration. Now, I'd have probably a problem with the registration. Every so often, I don't know where it is. But that they're looking for, of course, is for people that are drunk and impaired. And you said the other night they stopped 831 cars. Yeah, but then one of the answers over here on this side from Angel, who used to work in the police environment, she said that I don't know how many phone calls or how many, you know, the phone calls coming in through the 911 of drunk drivers, and they're trying to pry children out of cars. Drunk driver killed this 10-year-old. You know, right here in town, another drunk driving incident. There's been at least four that I know of since I've lived here, and I can think of that I can just remember here in the last, including that woman, that girl on a motorcycle that got hammered by the woman that was on a marijuana, and then this guy that kills this girl, and he was still walking around on the street. Just it defies imagination.
Okay,
because he had several DUIs.
Exactly, he had.
Then you had the
up.
One that came across the median and hit somebody head on out there by Wind River. I mean, in that general direction out there. And then there was another one that was other, and all of these were drunk drivers, drunk driving related. So it's you've got a balance there. Why am I being stopped? I've done nothing.
Well, okay, but here's the deal. You just pointed out that these people, in fact, have been stopped, not once. Some of them have been stopped two and three times. They do not have a driver's license. They've been in jail for DUI. They've been stopped. Maybe they even got stopped in one of these side things. Did it do any good? Obviously, stopping them and saying you can't drive is not the answer. We need to go a step beyond that. We need to do something. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but I don't think pulling them over to the side of the road and inconveniencing 830 other cars, and they say, well, we pick up people with suspended licenses. We suspended their license. Don't we know it's suspended? Can't we go to their house, and if they're driving their car, can't we stop them? Do we have to inconvenience a whole bunch of other citizens who are doing nothing? I'm sorry. I think last time we talked about this subject,
seven drivers were cited for having a suspended driver's license, and their vehicles were towed.
Well, okay. Perfect. No, perfect. But we knew they were suspended because we already did that action. We suspended them. They're driving without a license and all these things.
They're breaking the law.
They're breaking the law. Absolutely they are. But the rest of us weren't, that perhaps were in that. I just think there are other ways to do that.
What are the other
ways? Well, I don't know, maybe more severe penalties, maybe actually keep them in jail when, in fact, we say they got to go to jail, maybe all those other things that kind of play into it, maybe some counseling and figure out why they keep driving even after they've been told three times they shouldn't, but stopping a whole bunch of other people, it's we just keep rolling over and giving up one ride at a time, and pretty quick, we're not going to have any rights left because we just keep saying, maybe we'll just catch one person and so all of the rest of us will give up our rights. Same thing with the gun laws and the concealed weapons permit and all those things. Constitution says we can carry a gun. It says that's our right. And now we got to jump through all these very expensive hoops to carry a gun, which that was our right to begin with.
So anybody should be able to carry a gun?
If they're an American citizen and there's no reason why they shouldn't, I think that's absolutely true.
Okay, if there is no reason for them not to, well, how would people know unless there's some kind of law that says, I'm going to do a background check on you and find out that you are a rapist, a child molester, and all these, so you're never going to carry a gun. Is that wrong?
I don't think more laws is what we need. I think maybe
we really need to enforce laws.
The ones that we've got are ample. We don't need any more.
And frankly, I like my idea of freedom, fought for it a long time. On the other hand, I also know there are evil people out there that should not have the same rights as you and I.
And I'll tell you what, those evil people still have the guns and we don't.
I know, but that's where the problem is.
Something's not right.
If you break the law, you should not have the same rights as you and I do.
I
you
think
and I
that's
have
true,
not.
But they still have guns, and they're still killing people, and I'm not killing anybody.
Yes.
But I have to jump
yes.
through a bunch
but
of hoops
poked
to
me
have
twice.
My gun.
You poked me twice in the arm today. You know what? Linda reaches over and elbows me. You know, you, at least I say, okay, I don't.
Do we sit on the same side?
Yeah, you do. You know, I've got a, you know what? I've probably got a permanent mark here on my shoulder between Trish and Linda. Except, that, you know, Linda reached over one day and bit me. You remember that,
Bob? I'm not going to bite
you. Do you remember that when she reached over and bit me one day? Linda bit me. One day. And Bob just went,
I promise, Carl, I can, with no hesitation, I can promise you I am not going to bite you during a radio show.
You don't know that yet. We've got a lot more radio shows, sweetie. But right now we're going to take a quick break. And I think there's people, is there people online or just calling in and leaving nasty messages? Okay. Hey, look. I'll be right back after these messages. It's 7:45 right here at KCNR 1460.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
Sierra Cascade Logging Conference celebrates the North State's logging and construction industries this Thursday through Saturday at the Fairgrounds in Anderson, with indoor and outdoor expo for the whole family and free admission for all. Sponsored in part by Wind River Resort and Casino, Sierra Pacific Industries, NorCal Kenworth, and Reading Bank of Commerce. This event showcases the skills and equipment that make for good forest management and quality construction. Enjoy the Excavator Rodeo, Lumberjack Competition, Wild Things Wildlife Show, exhibits, historical displays, truck driving and log loading skills competition, equipment displays, exhibits, and demonstrations. A great opportunity to teach our children about the responsible practices of this successful industry with 3 full days of information, and it's all free to the public. The 2016 Forest Products and Construction Equipment Expo at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. Event sponsors include Tri-Counties Bank, WM Beatty & Associates, Eddie Axner Construction, Mendocino Redwood Company, Murphy Veneer, Muse Trucking, and Warner Enterprises.
Hi, I'm Mary McCurdy, and I represent Properties by Merit. We are a locally owned full-service real estate firm. Whether you are buying or selling, I can help. Call me today at 949-1550 or check out my website at marymccurdy.com. At Properties by Merit, we make your dreams become reality. Call or text me at 949-1550.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, with Trish Clark and Carl Buck.
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. You can start calling me Lefty here pretty soon. I get punched on the arm one more time, and they're using fingernails. It's just, hey, welcome back. It's like about, 13 minutes until 8 o'clock here on the 11th of February. We've got Lloyd Pendleton, Christian Schrader coming in here at 8 o'clock. He's the guy from Utah, head of Utah's Homeless Task Force, that has come up with all these ideas. And he's coming in to speak today, the Women's Fund, down at Sequoia School. And I tell you what, this is a huge.
And how
huge
they've handled it
and how
in
they've
there.
Handled it there. And I'm so happy. And Kristen reached out and said, hey, Carl, would you like to have him on?
Yeah. Perfect.
Because we had the last one on, too, that was talking, the guy out of San Antonio. But, hey, you know what? We talked about Valentine's Day and what great it is. Well, tomorrow we're going to make a drawing, so there's still time to enter NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa. you're going to give us a call in right now or email us. Stop by, give us your name and a phone number, email Molly at KCNR1460 with just your name and a phone number. We're going to enter you into a drawing, and from that you get a limo ride with champagne to some very romantic spots, and you end up at Bohem Spa where you get a couple's massage side by side there, and you can relax, pampered from head to foot. Just what a great time that is. So, how do you do that? And it's absolutely free. You call us right now, 605-4567, or any time during the day, 605-4567. Give us your name. Give us your phone number, and we're going to enter you in the drawing, or send an email to Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, at KCNR1460.com. We're going to do the drawing tomorrow, and some lucky couple is going to have a great time.
Perfect. Sounds like a good time.
Couples massage.
Ugh. All right, and we need to go to the phone now.
That's
we have
right.
Morton on the line.
Good morning, Morton.
Greetings. Good morning. Thank you for the show. I want to say, Carl, when you enter into a contractual agreement, your freedoms are limited. And so I'm going to say in this traffic issue, you signed into a contract with the DMV to do certain things, and that gives them the right to inspect your car because you've agreed to have your car inspected or persons inspected. It's no longer a matter of freedom. Just like it is with your military experience. When you sign up with the military, there's a new set of laws. Not that you've given up everything, but you have to obey their contractual agreement. Same with the IRS. You sign up with the IRS, you've got to obey them. If you sign up with the DMV, you've got to obey them. Well, you've signed up.
Well, Morton, can
I... Same way with the military. You've signed up. So that's... Well, I'm all for traffic stops, but I'm not very happy with traffic stops that have drones overhead and fellas with full automatic weapons. That is an overreach.
Well, I can
sure,
see
thank
that.
Thank you for your program.
Sure. But Morton, let me ask a question here and about the contract. Is, but if you're pulled over by a policeman, say for speeding, and he says, can I search your car? And you say, no, they won't search your car because they don't have the right to search your car. But and that so that's not part of the contract. Part of the contract is, though, is they can stop you and just to check your driver's license.
I can hardly hear you, Carl. But
what I was saying, what I said was, you're saying it's part of the contract with the DMV is that I have to stop, and so they can check my license and registration, and you know, see if I'm sober. That's part of the contract. But they don't have as part of the contract. If they pull me over for speeding and they say, let me look into your trunk, I don't have to agree to that, though.
Okay, I guess maybe Tim Pappas could explain some more of this. I'd love to have him on the
program. You know, I've got a phone call into Tim right now, and we're going to get him back on again because I've got like seven questions I want to ask Tim, and this is one of them. But I understand what you're saying. There are contracts. We have contracts that by implicitly, as soon as they give us a license, they have a right to do things. Yeah,
implied consent.
All right, Morton, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, he makes a good point, and certainly I would just point out that we don't have a choice about whether we enter into that contract or not, except that we could choose not to drive. If we choose to drive, we have to enter into that contract.
And I'm not sure what contract I entered with into. It's like insurance. It's like Obamacare. Look, you know, it's insurance. You have to have insurance when you drive. Yeah, but I don't have to drive. I have to breathe. If you breathe, you've got to have insurance is what they're saying.
Yeah.
If you breathe, you have to have insurance. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to change.
Government overreach, I think, is exactly what we have.
Yeah.
Any way you look at it.
Anyway. Hey, so Hillary, not Hillary. Oh. You know, some people are starting to look at Hillary and Bernie. You know, let's see what happens down in South Carolina.
Is that just absolutely frightening?
You've got a socialist on one side, and you've got a liar and a person of no moral structure. Now, I talked to a real rabid Democrat the other night. She's very pragmatic too, and she says, I just don't understand what's going on in our country. She says we've got this one guy on the Republican side, somewhat bombastic, blah 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 blah. She says on the other side we have a person that is absolutely amoral, just like her husband. I said, could you say that maybe like a sociopath? She goes, no, but amoral. I can say it's amoral. When you're like this and say nothing applies to you,
yeah,
it's like nothing applies to you. whatever you do is okay because that fits into your moral structure. So here we are, you know, with, and it's going to be a clear choice. Any way you look at it, there is absolutely going to be a clear choice whoever is running this time.
But if you listen to the people that are being interviewed who support Bernie Sanders, that's the most frightening thing. There are about two or three tapes out there now where people have gone out and interviewed the people who are supporting Bernie Sanders. And it is frightening to listen to the reasons that they are supporting them. And you've got that many people in this country, that we are in so much trouble, we don't even know.
You know why it is? It's the college kids. They're still in college. A lot of them are young. When do they get out there and they start earning a living? They say, hey, by the way, I'm going to take 75% of everything you make and give it to other people. Guess what? They go from Bernie to another side real quick.
Yeah.
As they all do. Okay. Hey. I'm not. Okay. I'm offended again by the government. I know it's hard to believe. The Interior Department's IG, Inspector General, did the inspection out at what happened at Lassen Park, where that 9-year-old boy, Tommy Bothell, was killed.
Yes. With the...
And they're saying is that, oh, no, it was terribly handled. The whole investigation was terribly handled. But it wasn't a criminal thing. Nobody was trying to hide anything. And they just said it was just handled terribly, and there'll be no charges or anything brought up on the woman who was out there that told them to rebuild it, that there was stuff shredded. And they said, stuff was shredded, but it didn't have anything to do with that. Well, and then on the next hand, they go, but what about the documents we said for you to hold? Well, we didn't understand what you meant by that. We didn't understand that's what you meant. We thought you were just notifying us that you were the lawyer. This goes on and on and on.
And one more time, they're going to shuck it under the rug.
But the one thing that came out was his death did not need to occur, that there was reports that this part of the trail was poorly maintained and could be dangerous. And, in fact, that one inspection that this one person did, an architect did, was removed from the investigation. You know, of the original investigation, because they felt like the woman in charge felt like it didn't have anything to do with the report. And you get into this. So
time and time again.
The lawyer, the people, I mean, the case is already settled. It's settled. They settled out of court. They were so woefully, woefully guilty in this. And yet the person that ran this thing, that did all this, did the part of the cover-up.
Gets a promotion and moves to a new area.
You know?
That's exactly what happens. Our government is so far out of control, and this is what, again, we go back to this election. We have got to reach a point at some point where we have somebody who's going to stand up and say we need to hold the government officials accountable for the things they're doing.
And here's an example of that. But first, I want to go to this. Dr. Maria's dad had open heart surgery yesterday. He's up walking today, and from what I understand, is doing. He's doing push-ups in the his recovery room. So, Dr. Maria, we're so happy about your dad. Semper Fi. He's an old Marine.
Dr. Maria Salas.
Now, down in San Diego, get this. Political correctness ticks over. They hand out the employee's handbook. Did you hear about this? Hand out the you got to do away with those terms, you know, those men and women terms, you know, of this. In fact, we won't use the word founding fathers. We're just going to use the word founders.
No.
This was coming up on President's Day. Okay, we do not use the word founding fathers. You're just founders. Oh, you know, you can't, you know, the backlash off of this hit. The mayor goes, where in the hell did this come from? Now, okay, and here's the part that's scary. It was issued by one of the departments that this mayor, who, by the way, is Republican, is over, and he didn't even know about this is what they were issuing. And so he said that immediately. Pull that back, and he says, go back, we're going to change a lot of this stuff. But it was issued to all the employees. You cannot use the word founding fathers because it is a politically incorrect to say fathers, the founding fathers.
I know, but see, that's the problem. We're rewriting history. We're going back, and because it's not politically correct to have slaves, and it's not politically correct to do the things that they did, we're going to rewrite history and say they didn't do it. Write a new history book and say, we've corrected these things in our country, but you can't go back and say it didn't happen because it did. And I didn't hit you. You moved your elbow.
I moved my
right
elbow,
into
but,
my hand.
But you hit me harder than usual. Anyway, but the other part is, but the other part on this is, we take away the context of the times. when you look back at history.
That's exactly
you
right.
You look at the context of the times when things happen. You know, of course they're abhorrent now. Of course they're so horrible. Things that happen, and I'm talking about...
But they happened in a different context, in a different setting.
Context and setting.
And absolutely not as abhorrent as they would be
today. But this thing about founding fathers, taking out fathers, are you kidding? Hey, bravo Zulu to the mayor of San Diego to slap those guys down. We'll be right back after these messages with Lloyd Pendleton, the man that heads up the Utah State Task Force for Homeless and has solved their problem. He's over here talking to us today. We'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. It is debate night for Democrats tonight, 2 days after Bernie Sanders' blowout victory over Hillary Clinton in the New Hampshire primary.
48 hours after Sanders scored a convincing victory over Clinton, the candidates square off in Milwaukee this evening. The Vermont senator goes into the debate with lots of momentum and donations pouring into his campaign. For the former Secretary of State, she has to figure out how to attract the young voters and women who are flocking to Sanders. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Foster Klug reports that North Korea is now vowing to take over completely the industrial park on the border following South Korea's decision to suspend its operations there.
North Korea has ordered a military takeover of a factory park that it runs jointly with South Korea. This was the last major inter-Korean cooperative project between the two rivals.
Tensions have been high after a recent North Korean ballistic missile test. The Senate set to begin work on a customs enforcement bill today. We get more details from correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The bill has been stalled for nearly 2 months due to disagreements about taxing access to the Internet. It comes to the floor with an agreement from the Senate Majority Leader to at least consider including a measure that permanently bans Internet access taxes. Meanwhile, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the National Association of Manufacturers are supporting the bill. They say it will save them billions of dollars a year.
That is correspondent Linda Kenyon reporting. In New Jersey last night, a cruise ship battered by a major storm in the Atlantic returned safely to port after enduring a bout with potentially deadly seas, just rough enough to convince passenger Frank McHugh to stay on land from now on.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. I have to tell you, it was extremely bad. I've been in bad situations in my life. That was the worst.
Royal Caribbean's Anthem of the Seas docked at Bayonne's Cape Liberty last night. A rough ride on Wall Street right now. The Dow's down 305 points. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Ted Cruz, nice to see you, sir.
Ted Cruz goes on the record with Greta.
So let's provide some absolute clarity. Senator Rubio supports amnesty. I oppose amnesty. Senator Rubio supports citizenship. I oppose citizenship. Senator Rubio supports legalization. I oppose legalization. Senator Rubio joined with Chuck Schumer to fight for the Gang of Eight. I joined with Jeff Sessions, Steve King, and the American people, and we defeated the Gang of Eight.
Ted Cruz did what he promised voters by standing up to the Washington establishment and boldly opposing amnesty for illegals. Chris Wallace asked Rush Limbaugh about Ted Cruz on Fox News Sunday.
First of all, Ted Cruz, brilliant and conservative through and through, trustworthy, strong, confident leader, and somebody in whom you can totally depend.
Ted Cruz, the candidate conservatives can trust. Paid for by Keep the Promise One and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. KeepThePromiseOne.com. Keep the Promise One is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Hoping to prevent another Flint, Michigan, the House has voted to require the EPA to step in if local agencies fail to notify residents of contaminated drinking water.
Michigan's Fred Upton standing with the people of Flint.
The system let them down at every level, and that is, frankly, unacceptable.
This legislation requires the EPA to step in if local agencies don't.
Had that happened, it would not have prevented the bad decisions that led to this crisis. But it would have prevented them from going on for months and months and months.
Congressman Dan Kildee, a lifelong resident of Flint, he calls this legislation a first step.
As Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines, average long-term U.S. mortgage rates have fallen for the sixth straight week as markets around the globe continue the whipsaw trading that has marked the year so far. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says a 30-year loan is down to 3.65%. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. For the 15th time, officials have denied parole for Sirhan Sirhan, the assassin of Senator Robert F. Kennedy.
Sirhan, now 71, told a parole panel that he doesn't recall the shooting.
Commissioners concluded that Sirhan did not show adequate remorse or understood the enormity of his crime. One commissioner, Brian Roberts, said the crime impacted the nation and the world and called it a political assassination of a viable Democratic presidential candidate. Sirhan said he felt remorse for any crime victim, but added that he couldn't take responsibility for the shooting. Keith Peters reporting.
Another year of little snow in part of Alaska is playing havoc with the world's most famous sled dog race. The Iditarod begins today with a ceremonial fan-friendly slow jaunt through the streets and trails of Anchorage. That's where snowfall is only about two-thirds of a normal year, though. Tomorrow, the competitive portion of the nearly 1,000-mile race begins about 75 miles to the north in Willow, Alaska. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday on the spot with Linda Bott tonight, 6 p.m.
Five after eight
here on the 11th of February, 2016. 605-4567. Put your phones in your laps. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of phone calls today. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And for everybody in the chat room, all you guys, let's be nice out there. Okay. You know, we have photos. Okay.
And it is 48 degrees in downtown Reading as we speak, and we're looking for a high of 67 today, low of about 48 on Friday. We're looking for 65 and 44, Saturday 68 and 45. Kind of carries through all the way through next week with those same temperatures. A little bit of chance of rain towards the end of next week. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Veteran-owned business and another veteran-owned business, Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for well over 20 years, voted best in North State last year because of how they take care of your heating and cooling systems. I tell you what, they are the ones that take care of ours. And you can't ask more from Martin and his people. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day if you've got an emergency. You know, it's going to start getting warm here. You know, our spring will last almost a day and a half, and then it gets hot. And if you don't have your filters checked and all those other things going on, you are going to start paying even more exorbitant electric cost. So, have Alliance Heating and Air. Come out and check it out. 221-2642 or check out their website, homecomfort.org.
Spring actually lasts longer than that because we're already having spring right now. My backyard looks like it's spring. Camellias, daffodils. All this stuff coming up, and then it's going to get cold again.
I think all the plants in my yard have given up. You know, they've tried so hard for 8 years. You know, and I said, well, you know, if you're just going
to ignore. So we have to count this as part of our spring, and then a little more winter, and then we get a little bit of spring, and then, whoop, it's hot.
Okay, now we are really happy here. Well, we're really happy all the time. But we have a big event today, and it's talking about our homeless. You know, the homeless situation here in Reading has been going on for, gosh, you know, well, it's been going on probably for decades, but it's really raised to, got everybody's attention here in the last couple of years. So with us today is Reading City Councilwoman Kristen Schrader.
Good morning.
And one of the things that you know, Kristen did that I just love to see an elected official is taking a bull by the horns and just saying, you know what, I'm just tired of this. I'm going to find out. We need to fix this homeless problem. And so she goes out and doesn't use taxpayers' money and has a survey done on homelessness. And Kristen, good morning.
Good morning.
What did you find out?
Well, actually, the survey was the point in time which Brandon Thornock is also here with us today.
Yeah, and Brandon Thornock is working with the
Shasta Community Health Center, and he was one of our committee members for the point in time count. He did the training, and today we brought Lloyd Pendleton from Utah. But to tell you what, we raised money to hire consultants to help us better understand how we collect data, how we collaborate, and now we're doing a strategic plan. The second two studies that they're going to be doing is what is the cost of homelessness when through the emergency rooms, hospitalization, calls for service, incarceration, the calls for the additional security that people have to incur.
The impact on the community.
Impact.
All the people don't realize the fiscal, you know,
impact.
You have to get your arms around
right.
all that.
Which
right.
are, which don't result in the best outcomes for our community, you know, vulnerable community members and, you know, the rest of the
sure.
community. So that, those are two studies. And then the other second study we're doing is to actually look and give another identification of research into our homeless population. Who are our homeless population through contacting all those resources? In addition that we did the point in time count a week and a half ago, that's a snapshot. That was done, but we're also doing another evaluation of our data. And then in June, we're going to have the results of the community strategic planning process. So we have done two workshops. Over 120 people showed up at our two different workshops to solicit input, and our consultants will be working on drafting a report and presenting that in June.
Okay. And one of the results of this, and thanks to Brandon here for reaching out to Lloyd Pendleton, who's the past director of the Utah's Homeless Task Force and lead author of the state's 10-year strategic plan in homelessness. And it seems to have worked. So good morning, Lloyd.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming on over here.
Well, this is a nice place. I've not been here before. This is a beautiful area.
You know, Redding is a great place. And
Shasta County.
You're right. Shasta County, Northern California is a great place. Well, my wife and I decided to stay here. You know, we were...
You were driving through and you said, I'll stop by.
Got out of the Marine Corps. Linda was already here. And we had to make up our mind if we were going to stay here or just go someplace else. We'd been offered jobs in all of different countries and places. Mm-hmm. But this just seemed to be the right place. And as long as I've ever lived in my life, by far, is right here in Shasta County. And I've never regretted it for a second.
Now you come here and then you just say, I came in 77 and this is home.
Yeah.
There you go. And I got here on the day and a half of spring. So
I left
2.5 feet of snow in my backyard. It was 5 below last week. So, yes, this is beautiful.
It is. Trust me, it won't last.
Okay.
In fact, this is a good time to come. Lloyd, tell us a little bit about yourself. We know that, you know, you're the past director of the Homeless Task Force in Utah, but how did you get there?
I got involved. I worked for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the LDS Church, in the welfare department, and I had the opportunity to be loaned out to the state to take the lead as a part-time loaned executive to develop the 10-year plan to end chronic homelessness. And so I did that for 3 years on a part-time basis, still through my full-time job at the LDS Church. When I retired in 2006, the state offered me a job to go to work for them, and I worked with them for 9 years implementing this plan across the state.
And what did you find?
Well, we had, at that time, about 2005, we had almost 2,000 chronically homeless citizens within our statewide count. And since then, we've reduced it by 91%. So we've been focusing on the chronically homeless individuals and working at the overall homeless situation, although that number is still higher than we want. But we had very good success in building housing for our chronically homeless citizens who are very expensive. As Kristen said, they can cost us $20,000 to $45,000 a year per person on the street.
May I ask, what is a chronically
homeless? The definition of chronically homeless.
Yes. A HUD's definition is an unaccompanied adult with a disabling condition that's been homeless a year or more, or four times in 3 years. That adds up to a year of time on the street. So it's a stereotypical homeless person, generally male, mental health issues, substance abuse issues, and they are very expensive. They end up in the jail a lot, arrested by the police a lot, emergency room visits. So because of that expense, and they represent about 10% of the homeless population. So the federal government under President Bush in 2001 and 2 started the process to develop a 10-year plan to provide housing to all those chronically homeless persons. And so we took that up in 2004 and 5. And developed our plan and then implemented it. And we've had good success.
Okay. I want to take a quick break here early, and I want to get into that plan. And then see how you did it. And then, Kristen, you know, what's your comments on this stuff, too? And because we've all, and of course, Brandon, on how that might work over here in our town. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, a veteran-owned business. It's your place for great coffee and more. Espresso Joe's. Veterans always get discounts at Espresso Joe's with all different types of coffees and drinks and brews there. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that just blows your socks off. That's right.
Smells good.
It smells great in there. Even with your socks on. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Open 7 days a week. They do a lot for our community here, do a lot for the people here. Veterans always get discounts, like I said, at Espresso Joe's. We'll be right back with Lloyd Pendleton, past director of the Utah's Homeless Task Force, which had a 91% success rate with the chronic homeless. situation they have over there. And, of course, Kristen Schrader, a Reading City Councilwoman. We'll be right back.
Logging Conference celebrates the North State's logging and construction industries this Thursday through Saturday at the fairgrounds at Anderson, with indoor and outdoor expo for the whole family and free admission for all. Sponsored in part by Wind River Resort and Casino, Sierra Pacific Industries, NorCal Kenworth, and Reading Bank of Commerce. This event showcases the skills and equipment that make for good forest management and quality construction. Enjoy the excavator rodeo, lumberjack competition, Wild Things Wildlife Show, exhibits, historical displays, truck driving and log loading skills competition, equipment displays, exhibits, and demonstrations. A great opportunity to teach our children about the responsible practices of this successful industry with 3 full days of information, and it's all free to the public. The 2016 Forest Products and Construction Equipment Expo at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. Event sponsors include Fruit Growers Supply, Roberg Resources, Trinity River Company, California Forestry Association, Humboldt Redwood, Northern Lights Energy, and Wheeler Brader Shasta Energy.
Your sweetheart to a special Valentine's, where you both get lucky. Make your date night reservations at Elements Restaurant inside Wind River Resort and Casino for our Valentine's dinner special, February 12th through the 14th. Charbroiled filet mignon and lobster tail. Shrimp cocktail, sides and chocolate tips, grand marnier strawberries with a glass of champagne for only $50 a couple.
With your River Club card.
After dinner, play your favorite slot machine on us. For details, call 1-800-280-UN or visit windriver.com. Dining is better at the river. Play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. Bingo. Don't miss our monthly $24,000 bingo blowout, rock and roll bingo, and paper-only sessions, where 12 regular games pay $400. $25 for 2 books. Additional books are only $5, plus 10 lucky winners will be selected to play the Mystery Treasure Chest game
for a mystery prize.
So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Wind River.
For details, call 1-800-280-UN or log on to windriver.com.
Bingo calendar subject to change.
Bingo is better at the river.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, February 11, 2016, and it's, 18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. 48 degrees, going up to 67 today. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Any type of firearms you can possibly imagine. He's got all the shooting accessories, great gunsmiths, the whole thing. Locally owned, locally operated, discounts for veterans. They can concealed carry classes, hunter safety classes, everything at fair prices, and great customer support. John Bastiani and his wife, outstanding citizens, do a lot for our community also. And again, discounts for veterans. Bastiani Arms, open Tuesday through Saturday, 2539 Larkspur. Give them a call, 222-8222. Our guests are, for Trish and I, are Reading City Councilwoman Kristen Schrader, Brandon Thornock from the... Right. I'll get that
Shasta
right.
Community Health Care.
I will write that one down soon. But also Leon Evans, who is our guest.
No. This is Lloyd Pendleton.
I'm sorry, Lloyd Pendleton. I wrote Leon Evans down because he was the last one that was here.
Yeah.
I'll be okay. Lloyd Pendleton, who is the past director of Utah's Homeless Task Force. Thank you, Kristen. You know, as you get older, these things go right out of your
head. I answer to many names.
Well, you know what? So do I. And I'm glad. You know, we are people of many facets. And Lloyd was talking about, he's head of the Utah, he was former head director of Utah's Homeless Task Force and lead author of their 10-year strategic plan, which he then implemented and took the homeless rate down 91%.
Yeah, the chronic homeless rates went down 91%.
Right. And we discussed what chronic homeless was.
Yes. And during the break, we were talking about why did we do this snapshot in time of the homeless population in a rainy January morning as opposed to another time of year?
Well, HUD requires everybody that receives the federal funding for homeless individuals to do a point-in-time count the last 10 days of January. And the reason they do that is because, like in areas in Utah, from November 1 to end of March or April 1, we have an overflow shelter. Because of the winter, then people will come in out of the winter, and then you have a better chance of counting them because they're more in the shelter. Now, in the southern part of the country, it's open in the warm weather, so they don't have that opportunity to get them as counted as well. For us, our unsheltered count is like 7% now. So that's why they do it the last 10 days, and they want them count everybody to count during that time period, because if we counted in January and you counted in July, then people move. So about 25% of the homeless population are transient and move. Therefore, you want to have everybody do it in that 10-day period, and you get a better snapshot across the country.
Okay. Now, one of the things that y'all have done in your success, obviously, but what did you find, what was your plan based on?
Well, the plan is based upon housing. You solve homelessness by getting housing. And there was a new concept that had developed in New York City called Housing First. And for the chronic homeless population, they have a lot of barriers, mental health, substance abuse issues. What they found is that if they took those individuals right off the street and put them into housing first, then provided case management support, they were able to help them adapt to living in housing and get stabilized. And research has found over the many years and many studies that the alcohol consumption, drug consumption goes down because they've been self-medicating on the street because they're out there surviving, and that kind of relieves some of the pain.
And when you put them all together in a joint facility, even though you're treating them for these things, they're part of the problem is that they're associating with people with the same problem.
Sure.
You take them away from that, put them on their own, they have a better chance of actually listening.
They have a better chance.
And, yeah.
And then you have a case manager there, and we have a lot of single-site, 100 units in one facility, 84, 201, and a former Holiday Inn. You're able to develop a community among them and with the case management, and you help them stabilize, and then we've moved, when they move in, from about 12% to about 30-35% are getting income through employment. So once they stabilize, then they're able to deal with their addictions and go to treatment, which is very difficult to do while you're on the street in a survival mode.
Do you find that you're able to turn these people's lives around, or do they stay in that housing indefinitely?
Well, this Housing First is called permanent housing with supports. So they can, there's no limit. They can stay there till they pass. Now, we have about 10% that will move out. They stabilize, reconnect with family, reconnect with a significant other, or connect with a significant others. And they will get a Section 8 voucher and move out. So they move out successfully. So, and we expect that. And we hope that they will get to that point where they will be able to move out. But it is permanent housing.
Okay,
Camby. Now, we talked about the cost of somebody that's on the street. What is that? You said an average of 20-something thousand.
Right. We did a study, a small group, about $20,000 a year per person in emergency room visits, EMT runs, jail time, police interaction, use of the shelter. Other studies in New York was $35,000, others $40,000. One was $45,000. A lot of studies have been done to say these emergency services that these individuals incur are costing the community. We had two individuals, one in 2010, $563,000 in emergency room visits alone. Now, that's an outlier, but that was one person in our place. Now, he's housed. Another one, 2.75 years, was $932,000 in emergency services. Real people. Outliers again, but they incurred those costs. And putting them into housing, you can house them for $15,000 in housing with supportive case management.
Okay, Kristen, was one of the things you tried to capture during your during your survey was how much it's costing us for the homeless?
Well, the consultants that we hired are doing that work. They're doing that work right now. They're doing the research. They've reached out to everybody in the community. Have been very generous with their time mm-hmm. and information. They're working on that.
See what that cost is.
They're going to be. We're going to try and release that report by the end of March.
Okay, great, Lloyd. Again, the okay. So you saw how much it cost. I mean, obviously, you went down a road here saying, okay, we've got this many homeless. We had over 2,000 in the state of Utah.
Yeah, chronically homeless with 2,000.
Chronically homeless, right.
On any given night, it's about 3,000.
Okay, but chronically homeless, 2,000. So you said, okay, it's costing us this much money. And, you know, this is, you know, while it's sustainable, we want to change this. And it's not helping these people.
Right. And so Utah is a very conservative state. I'm personally very conservative. Small government, et cetera. But I also realize government plays a very important role, federal, state, local. It's part of our community, and so we were looking at how can we do this more effectively. And part of the argument was these individuals are costing us in the community, therefore, and we can put them into housing much more effectively and efficiently and less cost, and it's a whole lot more humane. And so we do care for our homeless citizens. We're very compassionate as a people in the state of Utah, as you are here in the Shasta County area. So we use that argument from a standpoint of economics as well as caring for those that are in need. And then we, you know, the governor's office was supportive of it. Key mayors were supportive. County commissioners were supportive. You call them supervisors here. And so we brought them all together around a common vision to get the housing opportunities for these individuals.
Okay. And so one of the things you said that I found interesting, you took an old Holiday Inn
right.
or something
there
like that.
There was a Holiday Inn that lost its moniker, had 291 rooms. And so it hadn't been purchased. It had been vacant for about a year. Our homeless shelter bought it and renovated it and put a kitchen on the backside of the bathroom, used the same plumbing. And then we also converted 54 of those into one-bedroom and two-bedroom for chronic homeless families.
Okay.
And we have 201 rooms there, about 220 adults on any given night, and about 50 to 70 children.
Now, how much did that cost to do that?
It's about $20 million to buy and renovate that because they went through and redid everything. It was an old, been built in the 50s, and so
right.
they had a lot of renovating work to do. And so it with that cost, but it was done with tax credit money, private donation money, and then it's become a very nice facility.
Tax credit money, you mean from?
Low-income tax credits.
Low-income tax credits.
Which is available here in California. So
oh,
you,
yeah.
You get low-income tax credits. Banks will come and buy the tax credits, so they take that debt as part of the.
There's probably also, I would imagine, grants out there to help. With
and then
like
grants,
this.
And so there were grants. The mm-hmm. LDS Church put in some money as well as in-kind donations of furnishings mm-hmm. for these units as they come online. So the community came together to provide these housing opportunities, and in that facility, we also have an early Head Start and a Head Start program for those children that are in that facility.
I think that's really important, and Brandon, you know, for the Shasta County Community Health and all this, is being able to get the kids and breaking the cycle there. I mean, this is what we've said from the whole time. If you can break them in crime, break them in drugs, break them in everything at that early age. Is this something that you see as if we have a facility like this, and I can think of a couple of hotels, frankly, Kristen, we can
take
over.
Comes over up right after mine.
Just
okay?
Come in, maybe play
we
two
have
or three
places.
Of them. Yeah, that we can actually put people and control it. Yes.
Well, actually, I did start a housing work group just to look at what does it take to buy affordable, build affordable housing. What does it take to repurpose facilities, and we have a subcommittee that's looking at possibility of investing in motels. And converting them. We do have a group that's looking at that right now.
I can see it solving several problems right there. And that people will say, well, that's the only place they can live. Well, they can still live there, but under a lot better auspices.
Yes.
And with more help. And Brandon, I mean, do you see this as a chance then to, you know, put a lot of, if you've got people in a housing group or a hotel or something like this, under supervision, and we'll talk to Lloyd about that in a couple of seconds, but under supervision and like the Head Start and all this, do you see this as a big
And how can the Shasta Community Health Center be a part of that whole thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So for those of you who are familiar with Shasta Community Health Center, and for those of you who aren't, we have the Hope Van who goes out and primarily or specifically targets the homeless folks in our community to provide health care. And we found that, you know, with those individuals who are eventually able to find housing, they're not living on the streets, and whatever medical condition that they have is not then exacerbated by their living conditions, and they can be in a place of healing. We find that that is essential to really helping with this homeless situation and keeping people off the streets and keeping them healthy. And so, you know, as we talk about the kids, there's a number of homeless families out there and people who are couch surfing. I'm sure you've heard that terminology mm-hmm. before. And if we're able to provide housing for all these folks and get them in a situation where then we can provide the wraparound services that we've talked about and connect people to resources. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of wonderful resources in mm-hmm. our community, a lot of wonderful nonprofits, county agencies, city agencies who are really doing a lot of great work for people. But a lot of people they're not aware of what's out there either. And that's another reason for those wraparound services, to connect people and help people rise above the situations that they find themselves.
You know, we've got many examples in Shasta County where we've been able to take different populations, whether we're talking about the kids groups or the senior groups, and if you can get them in a place and then give them that wraparound service as opposed to treating one thing here and then sending them all over town and expecting them in their various conditions to follow through with those various appointments, it just doesn't happen. But when you can get them in a local place and then wrap around those services from all of the agencies, you can really have some dramatic impact.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. I just think of One Safe Place. You know,
and a perfect example.
You know, where they put everything
together.
Shasta
Senior Nutrition, Golden Umbrella for Senior Services.
Same thing.
All kinds of stuff.
We're here with Lloyd Pendleton, past director of Utah's Homeless Task Force, who will be addressing a very large group today at mm-hmm. Sequoia Middle School, talking about how they handled it. We're going to have Lloyd back right after we take this message and have him tell us, you know, give us the nuts and bolts and how this is working and the problems they ran into, and also the success stories. Of course, in Kristen Schrader, who is was the lead person on this whole thing about this homeless task force that's going on by raising private funds to do a study, and Brandon Thornock here from Shasta Community Health Center, who invited Lloyd over. Good job. All right, we'll be right back. Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Okay. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's about 28 minutes until the hour of 9 here on Thursday, the 11th of February. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, Ralph Athens Avenue. Was in there yesterday, got the haircut of my life. Yes, Man's Last Stronghold, a better-known business in there. It's the Cheers of barbershops. What can I say? Discounts for seniors and veterans, and a better-known business. Are we seeing like a trend here? You know, veteran-owned businesses around here. A lot of veterans around this place. Trish and I are here, and our guests are Redding City Councilwoman Kristen Schrader, Brandon Thornock from the Shasta Community Health Center, and our big guest, is Lloyd Pendleton, past director of the Homeless Task Force of Utah and lead author of their 10-year strategic plan. It just happens to work.
It works.
It works.
Yes.
And the part I like on this thing, too, is that he says, hey, we're a conservative state. We're in a small government. But guess what? This is costing a lot of money. It could be done a lot better. And
right.
This is what you did.
And you know, I think the thing is that the citizens can all pull behind that.
Yeah,
whether
absolutely.
You're, you know, we all want to care for those in our community that need our help. We don't like wasting money doing it. And when everybody's throwing money at a situation and nothing's changing, that's when the population then gets frustrated and says, we can't deal with this. You're spending
government.
A lot of money. Well, if you're not doing it right, then they have a right to blame government.
You know,
right.
you're
spending a lot of money, but you're not solving anything.
Right. They're sitting out there with cell phones, and, you know, I mean, it just goes on, and it starts to irritate people. And then, you know, then they stop. You know what? You got a cell phone, you got all this stuff, you know, and, you know, there's jobs begging here in town.
Right.
You talk to employers. And, you know, Kristen knows this, is that you talk to employers, it's hard for them to find an employee. You know, that wants to start out and actually build something, you know, with the people. So,
well, and you go to one of these cleanups of the camps and you've got all of this government stuff that's being given to them. And when you go out on one of these things and you get the population involved and they go out there and they find all kinds of new sleeping bags and toothbrushes and clothes and it's all in a big pile and it's got all stuff all over. And the community says, wait a minute, how much is enough? So we have to address
instead
of just throwing money at it.
So instead of throwing money at it, if we're going to spend money, let's spend it wisely. Mm-hmm. And let's get some results from it. Okay.
And you've done that, so tell us how to do it.
All right. People care. I have not run into a person that doesn't care. I even cared when I was a young person, and I would see a homeless person, and we called them hobos back in those days, you lazy bums, get a job. That was my way of caring. I morphed over the years and realized that they didn't, or pull yourselves up by the bootstraps. But I realized later on that they didn't have the boots to pull themselves up by. So I personally changed. But everybody cares, and just how they care is the issue and the problem. My observation was, because everybody cares, if you don't have a focused strategic plan in which you can bring everybody together on a strategy of how you're going to get the results, and you want results, then it's frustrating, it's fractional, and people just blame government. And to a certain extent, they're right, because government has the opportunity. So I met with the mayor last night. We were in a small group. And she has the opportunity to convene people, to come together and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to repurpose existing funds to get these results. And what's wonderful is we know the answer. It is housing. And you have to segment your market. I mean, you have chronic homeless, you have homeless veterans have different interventions, you have homeless youth different interventions, families have different interventions, you have drug dealers and drug addicts, that's a different intervention. And so you have to look at segmenting the market, focus the appropriate resource and intervention for that particular area. And that's what we did.
Well, let me ask that question and throw it back over to Kristen then. So you met with Missy last night.
We had a group of community leaders last night. We had city council members from Shasta Lake, Anderson, Redding, and we had the board of Pam Giacomini from the Board of Supervisors. We had our city manager. We had members of our medical health community. We had members of our faith community to have a kind of a one-on-one with Lloyd.
Because this is a Shasta County problem.
It is.
It focuses
not,
in the city of Redding because that's the major city.
Yeah.
But it's a Shasta County problem.
Right. Okay, so did I understand right? Is that Missy said she could do what now?
Well, I was saying mayors, county commissioners, or supervisors have the opportunity to convene people.
Okay, I see.
If she calls and said the religious leaders, the medical leaders, the business leaders, the Chamber of Commerce, she can bring them together. So there's that opportunity, and she can do that, but she needs somebody like Kristen, and you're very fortunate. I've known her since 4 o'clock yesterday, met her, to have a champion like that. People ask, why did Utah succeed? The key thing is there were champions. The governor's office supported. I had the opportunity to kind of lead the charge. But there are many other champions. And if you don't have a champion that will go out and get the resources, pull together, and develop that overall structure and strategy, it'll just stay frustrated. So you're very fortunate to have Kristen here taking this personally and having the support of the mayor and the other community leaders to begin to pull this together, because you'll start to see how it can be done. We know the answer. It's housing. Permanent supportive housing for chronically homeless individuals. Rapid rehousing for families. veterans into the VASH vouchers, the Section 8 type vouchers.
Okay, and that's been part of the problems we've had up here is that the Section 8 vouchers, by the time 10 vouchers, by the time they get up here, a lot of them are used. We've got one place that we can house 10. But from what I just read lately, there is approval was just given to build a veterans housing area.
Mm-hmm.
And
Shasta
Lake. Money's there
mm-hmm.
in Shasta Lake to house.
Oh, I thought it was 50.
Yeah, it's 50 or 60,
right.
Which should be, I think, probably most of the veterans that we have here will take care of that problem. So we're going to be following that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you've got to focus on a problem. There's different types of a homeless. So what is exactly the first step after you focus on and say, okay, this is the chronic homelessness. Okay, these are when families are – a lot of this has to do with drugs. Now, one of the things, and I used his name, Leon Evans, came up here from San Antonio. They had a sobering center that brought them to sobriety, the ones they could do, and then shifted them into the housing.
Right. We have a sobering center there in Salt Lake City area. So they can go there and they kind of dry out, quote unquote. And when we started our pilot back in 2005, we found the most difficult ones we could find, most challenging, in order to test this in a pilot. Two or three of them were so inebriated, we had to take them to the dry out center in order to get them dried out before we put them into the apartment. So that is an important part of what we have, and you know that's a piece of it. That's important. But overall, it's housing, and so we went and we built 1,300. Permanent supportive housing, you know, converted the Holiday Inn, former
right.
Days Inn, and a lot of them are new construction, plus a lot of scattered site where you just rent from regular
throughout
landlords.
The state of Utah.
Throughout, this is a statewide effort, so the 91% reductions for the state of Utah. Now, most of the homeless population live along what we call the Wasatch Front in that, Salt Lake City, Ogden, mm-hmm. Provo area, and 80% of the 3 million people in Utah live along that same front, so most of our activity is concentrated there.
Did you, once you started building this and the people came into it, and what did you say your success rate was 91% getting people
right.
off
the chronically.
Streets? Chronic homeless. And what's your success rate for getting, now they've got a place to live, and they've got people making sure they're okay, is that
right,
correct?
We have case managers that are supporting them.
So how many of those people have become back into society?
And so our goal is to assist them to integrate back into society to the level they're able to. Now, a lot of them have very serious mental health issues, and so they will stay there. They will not move out. I mean, that's where they will die or pass on. We have 10% that move out successfully, reconnect, as I mentioned earlier, with families, get a Section 8 voucher, and are able to move out. They have employment. They can support themselves. And then we have about 6% that will be evicted. Because there's accountability. I mean, they have the same rights as us leasing another apartment. But if we beat up our neighbor or do illegal activities, the police will be called. And they have to pay 30% of their income or $50, whichever is greater. There's accountability. We're very much into this conservative state. You need to be contributing something. It doesn't have to be a lot. Very important that you have responsibility.
Need some skin in the game here.
They need some skin in the game, and we don't evict a lot because of not paying the rent because we work with them. And people say, well, if they're on the street and have no income, how do they pay their $50? We work with them. We have general assistance in the state of Utah, $271. Not a lot, but it's basic. We link them up at the food pantries. They get food stamps. We work with them to get disability insurance because that's for whom that insurance was intended, these mentally ill, disabling condition individuals. So we work with them to get that. And then also, as they stabilize, they then go into treatment programs and then into employment where they can get income through employment. So it's a pretty comprehensive program. Also, when we evict somebody go ahead.
The 10% is a success rate.
Yes.
All right. Now, 6% get evicted. That's 16%. And then you've got a certain percentage. They're not going to go anywhere.
They're not going to work.
So
50%.
Oh, 50%. Oh,
yeah. Right. That's basically
50% are just they're
no longer on the streets causing the problems and being an expense.
Right.
But they're now in the housing.
But they're still
and that's
being
where
seen,
they're
but they're still being seen medically. So how?
Well, they're seen medically. We have a homeless clinic,
okay.
A federally qualified health center, like Brandon works at, and we have one that just deals with homeless only.
Okay. supposed to be like the Hope Fan, but go out to the structure
and
take care of people that way.
Right.
Okay.
And so we have, we have about 2% that die a year. 2% will walk away. They just say,
and you just don't know where they're at.
Right. They just go back out on the street, and we'll continue to outreach to bring them back in. And so there's that whole process. And when we evict somebody from a facility A, we will move them to facility B to give them another chance because we don't want them back on the street. And many times it will take at facility B. And so that becomes an important place. So we don't just throw them out on the street. Now, after the second or third time being moved to other facilities, if they really haven't adjusted appropriately, then they'll go back out on the street to say, all right, you have it. You know, there's some accountability issues here.
Yeah.
So that's
some you're not ever going to get.
Some that right. And yeah. We realize we call it functional zero. There will be 1% or 2% that will just never come in. So many mental health issues, claustrophobia, whatever, that they will just not come in, even though our commitment is that we will give them a housing opportunity.
Okay, so we've focused now on the chronically homeless
Correct.
Population.
And that's what the federal government's been focusing on. And then the veterans in 2010. So in December, we had all our veterans sheltered or housed. So we've achieved that. And 2020 is a goal for homeless youth and homeless families.
We're here with Lloyd Pendleton, who is the director of a strategic plan to take care of homelessness in Utah. And it's worked. The numbers he's giving are interesting, very interesting, in fact. When you look at it, that 10% of them are a success rate. And you think, well, gosh, that's only 10%. But that's 10% are back in society paying taxes, working forward with it. You've got 6%, they're just going to, they're evicted, they're going to break the rules. The big thing is this 50% that are never going to leave because they have mental, drug, whatever problems they have, and they're never going to leave there because they're never going to be able to take care of themselves. And if that's the point where you've got to kind of like focus your efforts to make sure they're taken care of so they don't end up, we don't end up
right.
spending $40,000 a year on them if we can keep them housed and all that.
And that's a success rate also. We see
yes,
that as success.
That's a success.
Absolutely.
So the 10% move out.
I would like to throw those out before, and we have to take a break. Before we take it for a break, because I'd really like to see, since the funding's out there and there's property out there, and is that we do address the veterans question, because it seems like there's a lot of things right in place already mm-hmm. with that and to take care of the homelessness. But we'll talk about that as soon as we get back.
Okay.
Carl Bott, Trish Clark, we're here with Lloyd Pendleton from Utah. Is going to be speaking today at
the Women's Fund Forum, sponsored by coordinated by the Shasta Community Health Center, is co-sponsoring, along with Record Searchlight. It's at the Sequoia Auditorium, 1805 Sequoia Street, although we're at capacity right now. So it can be viewed eventually on YouTube.
We've had turn-away crowds there before.
Yes.
So this is great.
It'll be available on YouTube and on Charter Channel 181. And all those dates and times will be available on the Women's Fund website at Reading Women's Fund.
And you can listen to it here, too.
Right.
It's going to be archived in like 2 hours. Okay, we'll be right back. That was Reading City Councilwoman and the champion, the champion of the homeless, Kristen Schrader. We'll be right back.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Reading's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call into KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway.
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is the gun show of the year, jam-packed with handguns, shotguns, rifles, ammunition, and of course, reloading supplies. The Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Treat your love to something extra special this Valentine's Day. Hi, I'm Allie Evers with Boheme Salon and Spa, Reading's premier Aveda Concepts Salon and Spa. What says I love you more than the gift of relaxation? Give the perfect gift this Valentine's Day that shows you care. Relax, unwind, and pamper yourself and a loved one with the gift of a soothing couples massage. You and a loved one can escape the cares of the day and indulge and share in a moment of intimate relaxation. Our special Valentine's Couples Massage Package includes champagne, chocolate, and a one-hour couples massage in a wonderfully relaxing environment. At Boheme Salon and Spa, we offer a complete line of Aveda products and signature services, and gift cards are always available. Give the experience of love this Valentine's. Boheme Salon and Spa, 961 Dana Drive, or our new location at 1740 Eureka Way in Reading, located inside the Wellgate Sports Club. Experience how beautiful natural can be at Boheme Salon and Spa.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday here, and we've got...
I love Thursdays,
and for a lot of reasons. One, that you're here with us.
Yeah.
Hey, a lot of things going on this weekend, but today at noontime, 11:30, at Sequoia Middle School...
1805 Sequoia Street.
Everybody knows where that's at.
And it's the Women's Fund Forum. Now, if you're not able to make it, and it is a capacity crowd, you can check for the YouTube video that will be linked to the womensfundreading.com. And there are also, you can do Twitter and through the record searchlight. They're live streaming, too, through the record searchlight.
Okay. Plus, you can hear it here. Also,
okay.
As soon as this show's over. All right.
Okay, Lloyd, at the very beginning.
Yeah, Lloyd
of the
Pendleton is our guest from Utah, headed up the Utah's homeless task force and beat it. They won. They just won. So
okay.
We got to find out how.
Well, okay, but so at the beginning of the show, you indicated that we're talking about the chronically homeless population,
right.
And that's what you had the success with.
Right.
You also indicated that you still have a problem with homelessness in general.
Correct.
So let's talk about that just a bit.
Okay. One of the things, people want to do everything all at once. And you just can't do that. You don't have the resources. The federal government was focusing on chronic homelessness because of the economic issue, the cost to the community. So we took that and we focused on the chronic homeless. And permanent supportive housing is the solution. So we needed to build those. We didn't have enough, didn't have any to speak of. So there's where we focused. And then we've taken that basically to the mat. What we've observed that in the process, we've disciplined our whole system because we've had a common goal. We've come around that. We are serving our families even more effectively. But during the recession, we had a huge increase, a 300% increase in our family homelessness. But because we'd taken hundreds of chronically homeless people out of the shelter system, we could convert hundreds of beds to family beds. So we didn't have to build new shelters or expand our shelters. Because when you take a chronically homeless person out, you can put 10.5 people in that same bed over the next 12 months
mm-hmm.
because the families are temporarily homeless.
Okay.
So we still have a large number of homeless families, and it's about almost 50%, 45, 47% of our homeless population are families, persons and families. So, and we've done well with that, but it's much higher than we want it, and so the goal is 2020 is for family homelessness, so there's a concentrated effort to put funding into that to get them into housing as rapidly as possible. So, and our goal is that we don't have anybody homeless longer than 30 days.
And okay.
So we have an intervention for them.
Hey, we've got a caller. Dale, good morning.
Good morning.
Give us just a minute to get a headset on here, Dale, because there you go.
Okay, we got everybody.
All right.
Okay, my question, well, question more of kind of a statement for Lloyd would be, I really like the idea of the segregating the groups, and that's maybe something he could work with Kristen on, because the liberal law firm that she hired literally wants to lump them all in one.